We're continuing our conversation with the candidates here on AM Quincy. And next up, we welcome to the program school committee woman and candidate for re-election, Tina Cahill. Good to see you, Tina.
Good to see you, too. Thank you for having me.
A pleasure to talk with you. Here we are, 4 years into your first term on the school committee. Can you believe it?
No, I can't believe it. And I think I say to people, 4 years, you know, 4 years have gone by, which I'm not happy that 4 years have gone by, but for me. But I know we talk about the four-year term, and I think it's really important to have a four-year term, mm-hmm. especially in the school system, because it's such an intricate district, and there's so much that goes on in academics and in education. And it's fluid, and it's all the time. There's always changes, and there's things that happen in policy and academics and, you know, state mandates and things like that. And for me, coming from a background is first as a parent, when you're on the parent side of things, you have a different experience with the school system than you would if you were on the school committee side. I do have a background in education. I have a bachelor's in elementary ed and special ed. And then I have my master's in higher ed administration. Hmm. So even on the administration side, it's a little bit different. So it's like there's three or four different prongs of what happens in a school system. And you know, going in, you think you have a good understanding of, well, I did, of how things work. But it takes time to learn, learn what our policies are, to learn who the people are that are doing the work in our system. We know our faculty are is where the rubber meets the road, and they're the ones that do the work for us every day. But the administration and, the facilities and there's the sports and the after-school activities, there's just so many different things that happen that it takes time to really get a handle on all of the workings of the school. Mm-hmm. So if we had to be on a two-year cycle, it would be really difficult to be able to gain that experience and foundation. And then, you know, let's say you ran for re-election and you didn't get back in, you had 2 years of experience that, you know, have gone by the wayside. Mm. Whereas this gives, I feel like for me, a really good foundation in what's happening and be able to kind of contribute and be able to collaborate with people and understand what's going on in the system.
Yeah, which leads me to ask, why are you running for re-election?
Well, I am running for re-election because, again, from my experience as a parent, mm-hmm. and as a someone who's worked in education for, you know, almost 30 years in my adult life in different capacities, I love it, and I love seeing what our students are doing. Mm. And I go home sometimes, and I tell my husband that these kids are coming out of our school system with an education that is even more than what I probably got as an undergrad back in the day when I was going to school. We have, you know, the arts and the sciences and the vocational. We have kids that we're helping who maybe need some extra support mm-hmm. in their academics. And I think that we really do a great job, and I really want to be there, and I love seeing the kids when they come in front of us and see the work that they're doing and the work that we're doing to give them what they need, you know, to be able to move forward in whatever direction they want to go in.
Yeah. What are some examples of successes over the past 4 years on the school committee, would you say?
I think that since I've been there, we've done a few things that I feel like are important. One of the initiatives was when I first came in, we have Laura Owens, who's the executive assistant to Kevin Mulvey, the superintendent, and she's amazing. She wears about 25 different hats. And one of the things she was doing was overseeing the websites for the schools and, you know, sending out information and kind of being a little bit of overseeing of the media side of things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how are you doing that? That's a full-time job in itself.
Right.
So I suggested that we take a look at if we could create a position as a media specialist or a media director. And we now have a woman who runs our websites and our social media.
Okay.
And, you know, to be able, every school has their own website and, you know, we have our QPS website.
Yes.
And it's a lot of work to update that on a continuous basis.
There are 17 schools, right,
17
in the
schools. Yeah. And even just the main system. If anyone, if we know people who run their own business or are involved in on the business side of things, when you have a website and you have any kind of communication vehicle, you have to keep it updated.
Yep.
And it's a lot of work, especially if you're making changes. And that's one of the things about the school system that's really interesting, is that it's fluid. It's not like, okay, every year is the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have different policy changes. We have demands from the state or the federal government that we have to implement, changes that come across, and we have to look at it and decide, you know, are these things, and how are we going to implement what they want us to do, you know? Financial situations, and that's another piece of the puzzle. And what I like to try to say to my constituents is that my job, our job, and the school committee is basically to be a representative for all of our constituents in the city. And it's just, you know, it's students, obviously, first, and their families. The faculty, which, again, where the rubber hits the road, and they do the work every day, and the staff and the administration. Because when we support, especially our faculty and administration side of things, that trickles down and allows our students to have the best of what they need, right? So we're there to oversee and approve our, you know, some financial allocations or facility changes and things like that. So that's really important from our side of the thing. So what I like to say is, we also need to understand that we're representing those people, but we're also representing the taxpayers in Quincy, mm-hmm. right? Because we as taxpayers are the ones who provide the financial resources.
It's probably
for
a third
schools.
Of the city budget, right? For education,
I think it's like it's fire, police, and education.
Yeah.
I mean, the mayor and the city council, they make the appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
Which they have been amazing, because I think everyone who lives in the city and who's in an elected office understands the value of our school system. Because, you know, and it sounds so cliche, but when we have a vibrant school system, we have a vibrant city, you know, and a community in the whole, you know, when we're able to give kids what they need to be able to go out in the world, either in the vocational side, the military, higher education, you know, and it gives them the tools they need to be able to do that. So we need to remember that we're representing everyone, not just one sector. You know, sometimes we have people who are like, I'm going to represent. No, it's a full picture.
Mm-hmm.
And as a school committee member, we need to be able to be accessible and pick up the phone when someone calls and just pay attention. And sometimes we can help, sometimes we can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you need to listen and be able to see if there's ways to help people if they have like a an issue that would affect their child in some way.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So.
Any other areas that you're part of?
We've done a lot of work with, so we had the media and the communication piece, which is really important. We were ahead of the curve in the cell phone ban. We brought that to the table. I really pushed for it too, because I felt like phones are really a distraction. They're a distraction for me. You know, if I have my phone next to me on the table, I'm always looking at it. And if I really need to do a project, I make sure I put the phone away somewhere where I can't access it. And I think on the academic side, it was a distraction that took away from kids learning in the classroom. So as a body, we voted to ban cell phones during class time.
Right.
The students could bring their phone to lunch,
yep.
or, you know, once they're outside of classroom work, they could have their phone, access to their phone, which I think is a good balance, right, for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if I put my phone away 2 hours later, I go and check and see what's happening. And I think that, and I had mentioned it before, that, you know, I volunteered at one of the schools at Quincy High School one day, and I was there at lunchtime, and I thought I was going to see, after the ban, I thought I was going to see all the kids just like run into the table and be looking at their phone the whole time.
The whole lunch hour.
The
yeah.
whole lunch hour, yeah. just looking at, you know, a couple of kids, you know, you'd see some kids and yeah, they'd be looking at their phones or whatever, but I think the majority of kids were just interacting with each other and have normally wanting to socialize and be with each other, you know, so that made me happy, because, you know, sometimes when you say someone can't have something mm-hmm. or do something, they want to do it more.
Sure.
So that was great. And we did that, which I thought was really important.
Okay.
We when I was there my first year or two, we saw that there was some lag in math scores between the fifth and sixth grade. So we have specialists for reading, and we have some other support systems for the kids who are struggling in different areas, but we didn't have math specialists. So I asked if we could have a pilot program of a couple of math specialists who rotated around the city and help kids who they thought maybe were struggling and needed some extra support. It ended up being really successful, and the schools really thought it was an impactful addition to the system. So we ended up expanding that, and that's been really helpful. And I think that that was a great addition to helping students who, again, maybe needed some extra support in what they're in their math.
Sure.
So that was an important thing that we did. We the other piece that I think is really important in light of all the things that we see in the world today is security. And you know, we pushed for, I don't want to say I, but as a group, we pushed for a security audit, which was completed, and obviously it's something we talk about in executive session and
sure.
on the side, you know. And so we had an assessment done, and we see some places where we could be doing better.
Okay.
So this summer, I communicated with the superintendent because there's a grant that's available, like a $500,000 grant, that if we get it, we can prioritize some things in the security assessment. And, you know, hopefully if we get the grant, we can hit some of those things, which I think is really important because I think, again, we do a great job. Our police department is very responsive and reactive, so they've been great. But, you know, if we can make improvements, it's always important to be able to do that.
Sure.
So that's something that I think is an important move for us.
Okay.
We talk about a little bit now, at the end of last year, the artificial intelligence,
yes.
AI.
Yes.
And the AI is a cloud of information that students can go to be able to pull information to do some of their work or whatever. And we had Emily Lebo asked Mike Marani, who heads the academic side of the house, to give us an understanding of what AI really is, you know, and how it's maybe going to be used in education, which is what he did. I asked for us to create a policy that would describe how educators and students are allowed to use the platform in their work.
Okay, so actually put it in writing as
a policy. So put it in writing as a policy so that we're all on the same page.
Okay.
You know, you could have Joe Catalano goes to Central Middle School and your sister goes to Atlantic for some reason, and you have two different teachers. Your teacher has one criteria, that teacher has another, and then they come home and, you know, maybe your sister didn't get a great grade because she used AI, but you got an A. You know, so I think it's important, and any policy that we create, I always ask everyone, please, we need a policy that we can share district-wide.
Okay.
So that everyone on every level is on the same playing field.
Okay.
And we don't have any issues or any, you know, discrepancies where people can be like, well, that's not fair.
No exceptions.
No basically. Exceptions,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
Because I think it's important. And I think it's a tool that we really can use, and we need to understand how to use it.
Okay.
You know, because people will be using it.
Okay. So that's in process right now?
So that's in process right now. We kind of addressed that at the end of the year. And
okay.
Now that we're just starting to get back in session, they're going to be coming back with us with a policy for us to review. And I think that's important, too. And we have some great things going on that I think is really that really will make a difference for us. Right now, we're dealing a little bit with, and I love this idea, is Lincoln Hancock is really busting at the seams. They have a lot of... You know, the school system is the school building itself is really using up all its space. So we have a plan where the Della Chiesa Early Childhood Center, so we moved classrooms over to the Richard D. Christopher Learning Center.
Right.
And that building is empty now. So doing some work there, we're going to create a kindergarten pre-K center.
Oh, really?
So okay. What we're looking at, I think, is so what they're going to do is take 7 or 6 kindergarten classes from Lincoln Hancock. So that'll open up some space there and alleviate their space issues.
Yes.
Put the kindergarten into the Della Chiesa.
Oh.
And then have, I think, 7 pre-Ks will open up there.
Okay.
So that'll be an additional. right now we have 23 pre-K classrooms in the city, I believe, at the Richard DeChristofaro Center and at Snug Harbor.
Okay.
Some of them are integrated, some of them are CARES programs for students who need extra support. And I think these will be pre-K classes. So, which opens up, you know, there is a mandate in the state for some year where we're supposed to have pre-K for all of our students. I don't know the year that they want us to have that implemented by, but this will be a start in getting something like that done. And
okay.
it's a huge need, right? Mm-hmm. Parents who are working and kids who are going, everyone goes to preschool now. So, it'll be an opportunity for people in the city for that to happen. So I think that's an amazing addition to what's happening in the system.
The mayor's talked about creating a new elementary school at the old St. Mary's school. Do you think that's needed there?
I think it's we're looking at it. They're doing a study. I think it's something that before I came, they felt like it was an initiative or a building that they needed to do because there is all this, you know, Lincoln Hancock is one of the examples, right, where they can maybe redistrict and add some space to alleviate some of these problems.
Right.
I think that we're doing a study looking at the building, how to build a building there that would make sense. Mm-hmm. And, but I think we always have to be a little bit cautious in the respect of, we don't know how the demographics switch. So by the time this school is built, you know, people talk about redistricting now. And I'm like, well, we don't know where we're going to be in, mm-hmm. 4 years mm-hmm. or whatever, and what the demographics are going to be and where we're going to need to open up space or redistrict. So
right.
we need to wait, you know. I think we always have to like take a step and just pay attention and see what happens there. And, you know, more schools, you know, why not? If it's going to be something that will keep our class sizes down, which I think right now we have like 85% of a little bit more than 85% of our schools, the classrooms are like 24 students or less.
Okay.
You know, which is great.
Okay.
And so if that happens, but you know, that's the thing is too, is we have to do that and then we have to apply with the MSBA. The school system and with the mayor and the school system, we've done a lot. Right now we're doing the Squanum mm-hmm. School. And the MSBA has been a great partner in allowing us to be able to do this work, you know? And so I think with this project, it's maybe like 55-60% reimbursement,
you know?
So that is like a huge piece of the puzzle to be able to keep our schools, new schools, you know, I think 5 new schools recently. This summer, all kinds of infrastructure work, roofs, windows, heating systems, all summer long. The city does an amazing job at our facilities, the academics, the support that the kids get. I can't say it enough. I think we are one of the best school systems in the district.
Okay.
And we're a big district. So there's like 10 big cities that they call big systems. We're one of the 10.
What, 10,000 students, right?
We have about 10,000 students. And of all of those, the 10 bigger districts, we're like second to Newton in graduation rate. And second to Newton, we have like a 1.7% dropout rate. So we're like right there at the top mm-hmm. with all these schools. And I think we're like maybe second in teacher retention in the state. So, you know, we're doing some things right. We have kids going to great schools and great military schools and joining the military in different levels and going off to the vocational side. The vocational side is amazing.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the new state lottery system for the vocational side. How do you feel about that, too?
I'll be honest with you. I think my colleague, Emily Lebo, has a really great handle on how the lottery system works. She's not a big fan of it, so I defer to her because she used to oversee the vocational school. And she's not a fan because there's different things in there that, for an example, this is just from memory and I can't be totally accurate, but there's something about your math skills or your reading skills, for an example. And the conversation is, you have to be good at math, let's just say, or you have to, or there's an attendance, we have like an attendance requirement, and if kids aren't coming to school or have bad attendance, they can't be part of this lottery to get into the program.
I see.
Well, if you're not going to show up for school, then how are you going to show up? You're taking a space from someone who is valuing the, but this is just off the top of my head.
Sure.
And
yeah.
From what I'm hearing from her and the conversations we're having, they don't think it's really a good process based on how we do it. And one of the things I know that we do have to do right now based on state mandate is we have to, I think we might even be talking about it tonight at our meeting, we have to give the middle school students an understanding of the vocational schools before they come, and so that they can make decisions before they come to the high school.
Okay.
And also let them know that there's availability for them to go if they have interest to the Norfolk Aggie school.
Okay.
So there's something that we're talking about now, communications with the middle school students to give them an opportunity to kind of assess if it's a direction they want to go in.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's great.
Also, speaking of state mandates, I wanted to ask you about the elimination of the MCAS as a graduation requirement, and how you think the Quincy schools are responding to that.
Yeah, we ended up last year, Assistant Superintendent Erin Perkins and her team brought to us a policy on how they were going to address the MCAS scores. And we do something called MAP assessments that go on all throughout the school year. And they assess the kids, you know, at different points during the school year to see how they're doing with their academics, different subject matters and things like that. And I like that because I feel like it's real time, kids in the classroom, you're really seeing their progression, mm-hmm. you're mm-hmm. seeing the growth, or you're seeing where someone struggles, and it's real time. And you can then use that information for individual student or for subject matter on the whole to be able to see, okay, we need to make some adjustments here so that we're doing a better job. The MCAS are good. Some of the things that I don't like about general assessments across the board, let's say statewide mm-hmm. or national or whatever, we're all different, you know? I don't even like to compare, let's say, North Quincy High School to Quincy High School.
Okay.
Because we have two different groups of students. They're all different. If they were the same students, doubled up in each school, yes, then we can assess and say, hey, they're doing things better. They need to do things better, you know? But we don't have that. We have different population of students, different skill sets, different, you know, and demographics and everything. So you can't compare. And I feel like it's the same way when you're trying to make a broad assessment across the board, you know. So I really like the MAP, and our district has put together a policy to really make sure that we're assessing students and making sure that they're ready to graduate.
Sure, yeah. Sure. If reelected, Tina, for another 4-year term, do you have goals that you'd like to achieve near and long term?
Yeah, you know? I think for the school system right now, I love the pre-K piece, looking at that and making sure that comes to fruition and supporting that initiative. I really want to see us do a little more work on the security side of things and making sure that we're really taking a look at that and making sure the kids are safe. And really it's an issue of continuing to pay attention while we're there and see what the needs are as they come up in front of us and how we can address them. And I like to, I don't do a lot of conversation publicly. I like to work with my colleagues and work with the administration when I think there's something, and then have a conversation and say, this is what I'm seeing, what do you think? Is it something that is a reality? Is it something that we can address? Is it, you know, and I think it's important to be able to collaborate with all of the stakeholders in our school system, parents included. You know, there's some issues that come up, and I'll go to parents directly and say, you know, we're hearing some rumblings about XYZ, how do you feel about that? And get a broader perspective and not just people who maybe make a lot of noise, and go to other people and listen to what they have to say. And I think that's important at a whole, mm-hmm. you know, with all of our constituency, again, going back to taxpayers or to students or to parents, you know, you can't just listen to one side. You have to listen to everyone before you can make a real decision on how things work,
sure.
You know?
Okay.
So I think it's mostly just being available to people, communicating, and, you know, trying to make common sense, fiscal responsible decisions that we need to make, and academic, making sure that our kids continue to have what they need so that we, Quincy Public Schools, can continue to be one of the best in the district.
Sure. Yep. Going forward in the campaign, what's kind of the game plan?
Well, October's here,
yeah,
so the month of
about,
October
yeah.
is just going to be, you know, boots on the ground and get out there and sign holding, mm-hmm. meeting people, you know, communicating with people, and just getting out there and trying to, you know, talk to people about, I'm lifelong, born and raised, love the city, love our schools, and I want to continue to make sure that we are, you know, who we should be, who we are now, and continue to be that way. And in a big picture, just the whole city itself. And when I said before, it's being cliche, you know, a strong school system is a strong city, and that is our community. You know, I really am involved because I love the city. It's my city, you know, and you know, hopefully I'll get out there and let people understand that, and the voters will decide on November 4th, right? So it's all we can do.
Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having
You're
me.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano, and we'll see you next time.